Thanks, Nave. Well, what a privilege to be the first up of this six-week series of Be the Change. And tonight, the title of my message is The Pursuit of Happiness. And I'm going to just... Yeah, so we're all on a pursuit, actually, of happiness. We all want it. It's something that we all kind of strive for, I guess. And but first, thumbs up, eh, Joey? Yeah, see, it just makes you happy looking at that little guy. Anyway, I'm going to start by reading a passage from the Message Bible in Matthew 5:13-16. It's titled The Salt and Light. I just liked the Message translation because it's cool. So let's read that. Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. That's pretty straight. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be a light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Now, I just love that scripture, and especially the part where it says, I'm putting you on a light lampstand, and now that I've put you there, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. And, you know, as Christians, we're here to be a light. And we all know what light does. I'm going to just put this up a little bit because I feel like I'm looking down too much. And so we're here to be a light, and we know what light does. It illuminates the darkness, it reveals colour, it lifts our spirits, it awakens us in the morning. If someone turns the light on, we're wide awake, open the curtains, the sun streams in, it awakens us. And in winter, we sometimes get the winter blues, don't we? Because the days are shorter and we don't get as much light. Light is crucial to life, and we need it. And we are called to be a light, to be a change in the world, be a change in our community, in our families. But first, I actually think it needs to start in us. We need to get this for ourselves. So that's what my focus is going to be on tonight. And as this series unfolds, the Be the Change series, our hope is that our focus will shift from ourselves to those around us, and ultimately we will be the change to the world around us, right? Cool. So as a kid, I was super smiley. There's a picture up of me. Yes, that's me. And I always had a smile on my face. And I was known as, you know, the smiley girl. And there's a few people nodding. Some people actually nicknamed me Smiley. They'll be like, oh, hey, Smiley, how you going? And that's what I got called. And when we are young, we often get asked the question, what are you going to do with your life, buddy? You know? And as kids, often we think, oh, I'm going to be a superhero. I'm going to drive a rocket ship to the moon, or as little girls we think, maybe I'll be a princess. You know, we have all these dreams and ideas of what we might want to be. And my dream was to be a lollipop girl, a stop-go girl, okay? And I'm not joking. This was my ultimate dream, and every time someone would ask me this question, I would say, I want to be the stop-go girl. And I just thought this would be the coolest job simply because I would get to wave and smile at all the cars and make their day. I just thought of all the cars that would go through the roadworks that I would get to wave and smile at. And that's simply why I wanted this job. And I'm not lying, it's true. And but my dream of becoming a lollipop girl has passed. thankfully. There's still time. But I've never stopped wanting to make people feel happy. And like I said earlier, like, we all want to be happy. And we all want to actually make others happy, don't we? And I really believe it's God's plan for us to be happy. God wants us to be happy. He doesn't want us to live miserable lives. And it's said that we use 43 muscles to frown and only 17 muscles in the face to smile. So it's easier to smile than it is to frown, okay? So we should practice this more. Do you know, on average, how many times a day do you think you smile? 7. 100? 50? All right, well, do you know, on average, the average child smiles 400 times a day. That's a lot. Guess how much the average adult smiles? 20. Obviously, you know, like, Brendan's 7, so he's on the low end. Well, he thought he was 7. And some of us adults might smile a bit more. So it averages out to about 20. But, you know, it saddens me that when we get older, we become less happy and less smiley, doesn't it? Like, and it's, but it's true, even for myself, I'm definitely not as smiley now as when I was as a kid. And maybe it's because, you know, as we get older, we get more responsibilities, more worries, bills, things that just weigh us down, and we're not as carefree and as joyful as we are when we're children. But that's just some thoughts of maybe why we get less smiley as we get older. So who loves chocolate here? Yes. I've got a chocolate for everyone tonight. Okay, so if you pass them around. Now, if we run out at the back there, I do have some more in my handbag stashed away. I'm just, like, competing with Shani because Shani always brings lollies when she speaks, and I love it. So I was like, all right, let's do a chocolate. Now, chocolate rules, yes. It stimulates something in the brain that makes us happy, okay? It's a temporary pleasure, unfortunately. But chocolate is a pleasure inducer. It something in our brain that goes, yeah, I'm happy because I have chocolate. But did you know that chocolate, is it getting a bit low? All right, where's my handbag there, Shani? Who took more than one at the back, at the front? There you go, hopefully that's enough. Yeah, I thought you'd all enjoy it more if you got a smile on your face and eating chocolate, feeling better. Anyway, but did you know that chocolate is no match for our biggest friend, a smile? All right? Do you know it stimulates our brain reward mechanism even more than chocolate does? British researchers have found that one simple smile can generate the same level of brain stimulation as up to 2,000 bars of chocolate. 2,000 bars of chocolate. And I'm pretty sure that would be a bigger bar than those little things. Don't ask me how they research this, but it's, you know, in Britain, they're very bright. And unlike lots of chocolate, lots of smiling can actually make us healthier. Smiling can reduce the level of stress-enhancing hormones like cortisol, adrenaline, and dopamine, and it increases our mood-enhancing hormones like endorphins, and actually reduce overall blood pressure. Did you know that? It's a proven fact that happy people live longer. The Bible even refers to this. In Proverbs 17:22, I think I've got a slide for this. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. You know, our joy, our happiness, our cheerful heart can actually bring healing. Isn't that amazing? And if that's not enough, smiling can actually make you look good in the eyes of others. A recent study at Benson University found that when you smile, you not only appear more likable and courteous, but you actually appear to be more competent. Think about that the next time you approach a job interview. Now, I've got a little cycle as well that I want to show. Another picture. So, like, when we smile, we look and feel good. Others see you smile, they mimic you smile, and they look and feel good. So this whole smiling thing is actually doesn't just benefit us, it benefits others. And Mother Teresa, is a quote by her, says, "I will never understand all the good that a simple smile can accomplish." So we know that being happy and smiley is good for us. The Bible talks about it. It helps us to live longer. Its effect is better than chocolate. And Mother Teresa was all about it. Plus, it not only helps us, it helps other people too. So it's all very well to just say, smile, be a light and shine. And then I could just end my message there. But let's be honest, life's not always great. And we don't always just want to smile. And I think sometimes that's actually okay too. In Ecclesiastes 3:4, it says, "There's a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to grieve, and a time to dance." Things happen to us in life that aren't fair, don't they? And, we don't understand why things happen, and people can hurt us, a loved one can pass away, and sometimes even our own choices can make us unhappy. But I do think that smiling, to a certain extent, is a choice. My pen's missing. Has anyone got a pen? Thank you. You don't mind if thank you. As I'll give him a hand. If we really don't feel like smiling, what you can actually do, sorry, Basil, I'm going to put this in my mouth, is put a pen in your mouth, and it actually uses the same muscles as it as it does to make you smile. And people have researched whether you can tell the difference between a fake smile and a real smile. Well, when people put a pen in their mouth, they couldn't tell the difference. So. Yeah. Plus, when you've got a pen in your mouth, you can't help but smile. Thank you, Basil. Because you look silly. And then it makes everyone else smile. So it's like, it's good. And I was thinking about it and what inhibits me from being a light and sharing happiness and ultimately being the change, like the series talking about. And it's sometimes simply me being selfish or self-consumed. And as a generalization, I think we live in a bit of a self-obsessed, self-absorbed society where we do tend to think about ourselves first and then others. I mean, obviously no one in this room would be like that, but everyone else out in the world is like that. None of us are like that. But would you agree, we do live in a me society. And so I've got three words or points that will hopefully help us to be the change, okay? Now, these things are things that I'm still learning to put into practice, so don't judge me as I share them with you. And the first one is perspective. The way we look at our circumstances and situations. You can have two people facing the exact same circumstance and they have two totally different responses. Have you come across people like that? You know, one is happy and the other is not. Now, there's a story told of twin boys who both got a room full of Christmas presents. One was a pessimist and the other was an optimist. The pessimist looked into his room and saw dozens of toys, things he'd wanted to receive. After his initial excitement, he began to be depressed. Soon, he said, these will all be broken. You know the rest of the story? Yeah? Oh, good. You're smart. The optimist looked into his room and saw that it was full of hay. Wow, he said, with this much hay, there's bound to be a pony in here somewhere. You know, from the doorway looking in, they had already formed an opinion about how they were going to relate to the circumstances they encountered. You know, one boy had a bias for depression, and the other boy had a bias for happiness. You know, no matter how many toys or how much hay they encountered, they made a pre-decision for or against happiness. And I actually think we so often can do the same, can't we? We can have a situation that's like, oh, yeah, how's your day going? Oh, it's okay, I guess. You know, like we can be a little bit like Eeyore off Winnie the Pooh. And no matter what the circumstance, he's just never happy. And I guess the question is our glass half full or half empty? I just had to drink a bit, so it was half full and not all full. Let's live our life with a glass half full, rather than half empty. And see the potential and good in situations. And I think we will be way more enjoyable to be around too. The second point I've got is contentment. Being content. There's a verse in Philippians 4:11 that says, sorry, I just realized I've missed some out of my notes, but that's fine. I'll just carry on. It says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learnt to be content whatever the circumstances. And this is Paul speaking in, when he was in his time of adversity, and like Dad's been going through the series of Philippians, we kind of know the background of Paul after hearing his sermons. That's a real key, I think, is being content in whatever the circumstance. And he says too that I have learnt. So being content is something that can be learnt, okay? And I think it's great to have a vision for our lives and achieving goals and wanting to succeed because God wants these things for us. But often I think we can search for happiness in things, rather than being content in what we've already got and not always wanting more. Does that make sense? You know, I just need this and I'll be happy. And so I'm going to tell you a little story about myself. I've got a little issue with nail polish and it chipping. Okay, so every time I put nail polish on, it chips, like within the same day. I don't know whether it's my nails or the nail polish or anything. I apply nail polish and then within that day it's chipped. And who knows, no one enjoys looking at chipped nail polish, do they? It looks tacky. I don't personally like it. So I was watching a TV ad and this ad came on. And it was for this nail polish that is meant to stay on longer and gives that gel effect without it ruining your nails. And it was advertised as long wearing nail polish. You know, I'm not usually one to get sucked into TV infomercials and gadgets, but this long wearing nail polish really appealed to me. So I was like, you know, I have this issue with nail polish. And so I was watching this ad and I didn't realize, but I'd actually said out loud, "That's what I need." And Marty and our boarder just like laughed at me and were like, thinking that I was joking. Anyway, a couple of weeks later, I was in Farmers and I saw this Revlon Colourstay Gel Envy nail polish that had been advertised on TV. You know, I need it. It was like, it was just shining off the stand for me. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this before. But, and yes, I was getting pretty excited to get, so obviously I bought it. It's here. You've actually got to buy two because you apply one and then there's like the diamond top coat, which goes over the top, which is meant to, you know, help with the long wearing. And the lady who was selling it to me said, "Oh, you know, it should last at least a week." So I was like, "Oh, that's great. This is the answer to all my nail polish problems." So as you can imagine, I was very excited to get home and apply this long wearing nail polish and not have my nail polish chip and forever be happy with my nails. All right, until the next day, guess what? It was chipped. And I was very unhappy and I felt like I'd wasted my money on something that was not that great. So, you know, I was just really disappointed. You know, and it happens time and time again, doesn't it? You finally purchase that thing that you've been really wanting, like the latest iPhone or something like that, to 6 months later it being out of date and it's like, ah, now it's not that cool anymore, or the latest clothing or whatever. It's just everything keeps rolling over in it and you just always are needing more to fulfill your happiness. But you usually come out disappointed like my nail polish. All right. Now, the word for today, this week's theme, has anyone been reading it? It all belongs to God. That's been the title, hasn't it? And there was a phrase in the word for today that I thought was pretty cool. And it said, "The resounding message of Scripture is clear. God owns it all. God shares it all. So place your trust in Him, not in belongings." And this leads me to my next point, trust. Trust in Jesus. Now, what does the Bible say about being happy? Well, actually, so much. But I'm not going to read you all the verses in the Bible about happiness because we'll be here all night. But it does say in Proverbs 16:20, "Whoever trusts in the Lord will be happy." And I thought that was cool. Happiness ultimately comes from a trust in God and having a relationship with Him, eh? And, you know, another verse in Psalm 144:15 says, "Happy are the people whose hope is in the Lord." You know, and for me, I'm most happy when I simply trust that God's got my life in His hands. And no matter what life throws at me, God's in control and my hope is in Him. And God's plan for us is to be happy and to be successful in what we do. And He desires for us to be in relationship with Him and with others. And what I've experienced is that so many other blessings come from simply having this trust and relationship with God. And, you know, I remember so clearly when I was 4, asking Jesus into my life and just having this overexcitement and joy in my heart, knowing that I was simply a child of God. And that's just something that you can't have unless you've got God in your life. And it was the same thing again when I got baptized. And it's just like, wow, you know, I'm a child of God. And you just filled up with this joy. My aim tonight was not to cry because I'm talking about happiness. Failed already. But I can still smile through the tears, so it's okay. And, you know, one of the themes that Paul writes about in Philippians is of the joy and peace that God gives to those who live in relationship with Christ. And all throughout Philippians, that's just such a theme. Like he's just got such a strong relationship with God, and through that, he can face anything, and comes out with this awesome attitude with it. And because I've got God in my life, and I have something to be happy about, something to smile about, it actually makes me want to help others too, and be kind to others, and help others find this happiness that I've found in God. After all, going back to that verse in Matthew, you're here to be a light, bringing out the God colours in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house, be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. You know, and I believe as we work on our 3 points, perspective, having a positive outlook on life and seeing the glass half full, not half empty, and as we learn to be content in every situation and knowing that God's got everything in control, and thirdly, as we put our faith and trust in Jesus, this generous Father in heaven, you know, I really believe this cycle of bringing change or being the change is actually just going to happen naturally and become part of who we are. And so that's my message tonight. I just want to finish with one quote from Winston Churchill that will kind of lead on to Marion's message next week. And it says, "We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give." And what are we giving? Are we giving out smiles and joy? And are we being the change making a life of that? So that's my message.